A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He grew up loving what he calls ridiculous television, specifically Trigger Happy TV with Dom Joly, and later Nathan for You. He's asking whether there's a through line connecting the kind of comedy he enjoys, and if so, what other shows and series he might like. It's basically a diagnose my sense of humor and prescribe accordingly prompt. And I have to say, naming those two shows together already tells you a lot about a person.
It really does. And what it tells you is that this is someone who enjoys watching The Social Contract get stress tested in real time. Trigger, Happy TV, and Nathan, For You, are separated by about a decade, different countries, different formats, but they share a core comedic instinct. Both shows are built around a single person who creates an elaborate, artificial scenario and then just stands there, deadpan, while everyone else scrambles to process what's happening.
The straight face is doing a lot of work in both shows. Dom Joly in a giant cell phone costume shouting, "I'm on the phone," in a quiet London park. He never breaks. Nathan Fielder proposing that a struggling yogurt shop sell poo-flavored frozen yogurt to attract customers, completely stone-faced, as if this is a normal business consultation.
That's the first thing to name here. The comedy isn't in the prank itself, exactly. It's in watching ordinary people navigate a situation where the rules have been quietly removed and nobody told them. The humor comes from the gap between what's happening and how people try to respond appropriately.
That's exactly it. Both shows are essentially gap comedy. They open up a space between social expectation and absurd reality, and then film people falling into it. Dom Joly does it by becoming the disruption himself. Nathan Fielder does it by convincing someone else to become the disruption, usually a small business owner who's desperate enough to say yes to anything.
Right, and that distinction matters because it points to slightly different comedic traditions. Trigger Happy TV is closer to pure surrealist prank comedy. It descends from candid camera but with the whimsy cranked up and the meanness dialed down. Nathan For You is something stranger. It's prank comedy crossed with performance art, crossed with a documentary about late capitalist desperation. The business owners aren't the butt of the joke. The joke is the entire premise that any of this could be a real solution.
Which is why Nathan For You is also genuinely uncomfortable to watch in a way Trigger Happy TV isn't. Dom Joly is bothering random pedestrians who can walk away. Nathan Fielder is embedding himself in someone's actual livelihood for weeks, building an entire fictional reality around their struggling business, and the person has real skin in the game. The stakes are higher, which makes the comedy sharper and also harder to sit through.
There's a term that gets used for this kind of comedy. Cringe comedy, or sometimes anti-humor. But I think both of those labels miss something important. Cringe implies the main reaction is secondhand embarrassment, and anti-humor suggests the comedy comes from the absence of a punchline. What's actually happening in both shows is something more active. The host is performing a kind of social laboratory experiment, and the audience is invited to be the researcher watching through the glass.
The lab coat is invisible, but it's there. Nathan even leans into this explicitly. He'll narrate his reasoning, explain the psychological principles he's supposedly applying, frame everything as a rational business intervention. The deadpan delivery makes it funnier because the ideas are increasingly deranged, but the presentation never wavers.
Dom Joly does something similar without the narration. His characters, the giant phone guy, the man in the snail costume slowly crossing the road, the park ranger who aggressively enforces silence by shouting, "Cue, IET, please," through a megaphone. They all operate with complete commitment to their internal logic. The snail does not acknowledge that being a snail in a crosswalk is unusual. That's the whole bit.
If we're identifying the through line, I'd say it's this. A single creator performer constructing a contained alternate reality, inserting it into the normal world, and refusing to acknowledge the absurdity of what they've done. The comedy comes from watching real people try to reconcile the unreconcilable. And there's an additional layer where the creator's own persona, deadpan, committed, slightly alien, becomes part of the joke.
That's well put. And it helps us understand why someone who loves both these shows might not necessarily love, say, Impractical Jokers or Punk'd. Those shows have a different center of gravity. Punk'd is about celebrity humiliation and the reveal moment. You've been punked is the punchline. Impractical Jokers is about friends daring each other into embarrassment and the camaraderie of shared mortification. Neither is about constructing a sustained alternate reality and living inside it with a straight face.
The reveal is almost irrelevant in the shows this prompt is pointing toward. In Trigger Happy TV, there often is no reveal. Dom Jolie just does the bit and moves on. In Nathan For You, the reveal is that the whole thing was filmed and will air on television, but that's not where the comedy lives. The comedy lives in the sustained tension of the premise.
With that diagnosis in hand, let's talk recommendations. And I think the first and most obvious one is How To with John Wilson. This aired on HBO, 3 seasons, and it's produced by Nathan Fielder. John Wilson walks around New York filming everything, narrating in a neurotic, earnest voiceover, and each episode starts with a seemingly simple how-to premise. How to make small talk, how to cover your furniture, how to split a check, and then spirals into the strangest places.
How To with John Wilson is what would happen if Nathan For You stopped pretending to be a business show and admitted it was a documentary about the human condition. Wilson's camera captures real New York in a way that almost nothing else does. The weird conversations, the public access TV clips, the guy who's obsessed with foreskin restoration showing up in an episode about scaffolding. It feels like found comedy, but it's meticulously constructed.
Wilson's persona is crucial here. He's not a performer in the Dom Jolie sense, he's barely on camera. But his voiceover is so specific, so earnestly searching for meaning in the mundane, that he becomes a character. He's the straight man to the entire city of New York. The comedy comes from the gap between his sincere attempt to understand something and the absolute chaos of what his camera captures.
The episode where he tries to make risotto for his elderly landlord and accidentally joins a Mandela Effect convention is basically a short film about loneliness and connection that happens to be hilarious. It's the same species of comedy as Nathan For You. Real people, real situations, framed in a way that reveals how strange ordinary life actually is.
Next recommendation, The Rehearsal. Also, Nathan Fielder, also HBO. This one is harder to categorize. Nathan builds elaborate simulations of real-life situations, down to exact replicas of bars, apartments, entire social scenarios, and then rehearses conversations and confrontations with actors before the real person goes out and lives the actual moment. The premise is that if you can practice life enough, you can control the outcome.
Which is a premise that immediately collapses under its own weight. And that's the show. The first season centers on a man who wants to confess a long-held secret to a friend. And Nathan builds a full-scale replica of the bar where the conversation will happen, hires an actor to play the friend, and runs the scenario dozens of times. Then the real conversation happens, and it goes nothing like the rehearsal. And then the show keeps going, and going, into much stranger territory.
The Rehearsal is a good recommendation here because it takes the Nathan For You formula. Elaborate artificial scenario, deadpan host, real people being drawn into something increasingly unhinged, and pushes it past comedy into something that's hard to classify. It's funny, but it's also unsettling, and by the end of the season you're not sure whether you watched a comedy, a psychological experiment, or a cry for help.
The blurring of those categories is exactly what this kind of comedy thrives on. If you know it's purely a joke, the tension dissolves. The discomfort requires genuine ambiguity about how much of this is performance and how much is real.
Which brings us to another recommendation, Review, with Andy Daly. This was a Comedy Central show that ran for 3 seasons. The premise is that Andy Daly plays a critic named Forrest McNeil who reviews life experiences instead of art. Not metaphorically, he literally lives through whatever his viewers ask him to review. What's it like to eat 30 pancakes? He does it and rates it on a 5-star scale. What's it like to be a racist? He tries to become one and his life falls apart.
Review is the logical endpoint of committing to a bit. Forrest McNeil destroys his marriage, his health, his relationship with his children, all because he refuses to break the format of his show. Andy Daly plays it completely straight, and the comedy comes from watching a man ruin his actual life because he's trapped inside a premise he invented. It's darker than Nathan For You in some ways, but the structural similarity is unmistakable.
It connects back to what we said about the straight face. Forrest McNeil never acknowledges that the premise is absurd. He treats reviewing being buried alive with the same solemn professionalism he'd bring to reviewing a film. The commitment to the frame is total.
Here's another one that fits this lineage. Joe Pera Talks With You. Adult Swim. 3 seasons. Joe Pera plays a version of himself, a soft-spoken middle school choir teacher in Michigan's Upper Peninsula who talks directly to the camera about things like iron, the Alberta Rat War, and how to properly build a fire. He speaks so slowly and gently that you initially think it's a parody of something, but it's not. It's entirely sincere.
Joe Pera is an interesting recommendation here because he's not doing pranks. There's no hidden camera, no unsuspecting public. But the structural similarity is that he constructs a complete alternate reality. One where the pace is slower, where small things matter enormously, where a man can deliver a 10-minute monologue about beans and make you emotional, and he lives inside it without ever breaking. The comedy comes from the gap between Joe Pera's world and the world the rest of us are living in.
His episode about the song Baba O'Reilly by The Who is one of the best pieces of television I've ever seen. He discovers the song, becomes obsessed with it, and the episode builds to him playing it for his students. It's funny because his reaction is so disproportionate, but it's also moving because his joy is completely real. That combination, genuine emotion inside an absurdist frame, is the same thing that makes Nathan For You's best episodes work.
It connects to something that's easy to miss about this whole genre. The best shows in this tradition aren't mean. They don't punch down. Dom Joly's pranks are surreal and inconvenient, never cruel. Nathan Fielder's business ideas are ridiculous, but he's trying to help, and the show's sympathy is always with the small business owner who's just trying to keep the lights on. Joe Pera's comedy comes from vulnerability, not mockery. Even Review, as dark as it gets, locates the tragedy in Forrest McNeil's choices, not in the people around him.
That's an important distinction. Prank comedy has a mean streak that runs through a lot of it. The it's just a prank bro genre, where the point is to humiliate someone and then point a camera at their reaction. What this prompt is pointing toward is something different. The target isn't the victim. The target is the premise itself, or social convention, or the very idea that life is supposed to make sense.
Let me add a slightly older one to the list, The Tom Green Show. This ran on MTV in the late 90s and early 2000s, and Tom Green was doing something that looks a lot like an ancestor of both Trigger Happy TV and Nathan For You. He'd go into public spaces with a camera crew and create absurd disruptions, humping a dead moose, painting his parents' house plaid while they were out, installing a toilet in his talk show set, and using it during interviews.
Tom Green is the missing link between candid camera and everything we're talking about. He was doing public absurdism before Dom Joly, and he was making his own parents into unwilling cast members before Nathan Fielder was building exact replicas of bars. The difference is that Tom Green's persona was loud and confrontational. He wanted you to know you were being messed with. The latest shows in this lineage figured out that Deadpan is funnier than Manic.
That evolution is worth noting. Tom Green screams his absurdity. Dom Joly underplays it. Nathan Fielder whispers it. The trajectory from the 90s to now is a gradual dialing down of the performer's visible effort, so that more and more of the comedy comes from the situation itself, rather than from the host's reaction to it.
The host becomes a still point in a turning world, which is basically the definition of deadpan.
Another recommendation that fits squarely in this tradition, Nirvana the Band the Show. This is a Canadian series from Viceland, created by and starring Matt Johnson and Jay McCarroll. They play fictionalized versions of themselves. Two delusional musicians in Toronto who are constantly trying to get a gig at a real venue called the Rivoli. Every episode is them attempting some elaborate scheme to get booked, and the show blends scripted comedy with real public interactions.
Nirvana the Band. The show is essentially Nathan For You, if Nathan had a partner, and they were both completely deluded about their own talents. Matt and Jay stage fake movie shoots, break into places, convince real businesses to participate in their schemes, all shot on location in Toronto with unsuspecting members of the public. The show got barely any promotion and was nearly impossible to find for years, but it's exactly the thing this prompt is looking for.
It's another case where the commitment to the bit is total. Matt and Jay never break character, never acknowledge the camera, never let on that they know how ridiculous their plans are. They treat every scheme with absolute sincerity, and the real people they interact with have no idea whether this is real or not. That ambiguity is the engine of the comedy.
Let's talk about a more recent one, Jury Duty. This was on Amazon Freevee, and it's a prank show with a twist. An entire fake jury trial was constructed. Fake judge, fake bailiff, fake defendants, fake fellow jurors, and one guy, Ronald Gladden, was the only person who didn't know it was all staged. The show follows him through the entire trial, and the comedy comes from watching him try to be a good person in increasingly absurd circumstances.
Jury Duty is fascinating because it inverts the formula. Instead of one performer creating an alternate reality for many unsuspecting people, it's many performers creating an alternate reality for one unsuspecting person. But the comedic mechanism is identical, an elaborate artificial scenario maintained with total commitment, and the humor comes from watching a real person navigate it.
It's gentle in a way that surprised people. Ronald Gladden comes off as kind and patient, and the show ends up being oddly heartwarming. The prank isn't cruel. It's more like a tribute to how decent an ordinary person can be when surrounded by absurdity. That's a long way from Tom Green humping a moose.
Which brings us to another show that's less about pranks and more about the deadpan persona, I Think You Should Leave, with Tim Robinson. This is a sketch show on Netflix, not a hidden camera prank show. But the sketches almost all follow the same structure. A character refuses to back down from an increasingly untenable position, escalating the absurdity while everyone around them tries to maintain social normalcy.
The hot dog car sketch is the purest example. Tim Robinson's character crashes a hot dog-shaped car into a clothing store, and instead of apologizing, he insists that everyone else is being weird for noticing. You can't just drive a hot dog car into a store and expect us not to notice. Yes, I can, because it's just a car. The entire sketch is one man constructing an alternate reality and demanding that everyone else live in it.
The comedy comes from the same place, the gap between what's obviously true and what the character insists is true. Tim Robinson's characters don't prank anyone. They gaslight everyone, including the audience. But the structural DNA is identical to what we're talking about. An absurd premise, maintained with total commitment, pushing against social convention until something breaks.
I don't know what to tell you, bud. We're just shooting funerals and showing the ones where the bodies fly out. That's a line from a sketch about a funeral home that accidentally launches caskets during services. The sketch works because it's played completely straight. This is apparently a normal business with normal advertising, and the bodies just happen to fly out sometimes, and the owner doesn't see why that's a problem.
I think another show worth mentioning here is the Ali G Show. Sacha Baron Cohen's characters, Ali G, Borat, Bruno, are all constructed personas inserted into real situations with real people who don't know they're talking to a comedian. The interviews with politicians, experts, and ordinary citizens are the core of the show, and the comedy comes from watching people try to maintain decorum while talking to someone who operates on completely alien logic.
Sacha Baron Cohen is the godfather of a lot of this. His characters are more outlandish than Dom Joly's. A Kazakh journalist, a wannabe gangster from Staines, a flamboyant Austrian fashion reporter, but the mechanics are the same. The character is the prank. The situation is real. The comedy is in the collision.
Cohen's influence on Nathan Fielder is pretty direct. Nathan's persona is more subdued. He's not wearing a neon thong like Borat, but he's still a constructed character interacting with real people who don't fully understand what's happening. The difference is that Nathan's character is designed to blend in rather than stand out, which makes the absurdity creep up on you more slowly.
The slow creep versus the immediate collision. Both valid approaches. Dom Joly's giant cell phone is an instant disruption. You know something's wrong the second you see it. Nathan Fielder's dumb Starbucks pop-up in Los Angeles took hours before people realized it might not be a real Starbucks. The confusion builds gradually, and the comedy accumulates rather than detonating.
Let me add another recommendation that might not be obvious. This is David Lander. This was a British series from the late 80s, starring Stephen Fry as a journalist who investigates strange stories. The character is completely fictional, but the people he interviews are real, and they don't know they're being spoofed. Fry's Lander is a blustering, self-important reporter who asks increasingly absurd questions while real experts try to answer them seriously.
That's a deep cut, and it's exactly the right lineage. The fake journalist interviewing real subjects is a format that runs from This is David Lander through The Day Today and Brass Eye. Chris Morris's work is essential here, all the way to Nathan for Yu's fake business consultant. The expert is real, the situation is fake, and the tension between them is the joke.
Brass Eye in particular is a masterpiece of this form. Chris Morris created a fake current affairs show and got real British celebrities and politicians to appear in it, earnestly warning the public about a made-up drug called cake, or campaigning to save an elephant with its trunk stuck up its own backside. The celebrities delivered these warnings with complete sincerity, and the comedy came from watching them lend their authority to absolute nonsense.
That's the thing about this entire genre. It's a test of authority. Who do we believe, and why? Dom Joly tests it by being a disruption in a public space. Will anyone challenge the man in the snail costume, or will everyone just step around him? Nathan Fielder tests it by presenting himself as a business expert. Will a struggling business owner follow his advice off a cliff because he sounds confident? Brass Eye tests it by putting celebrities in front of a camera and giving them nonsense to read. Will they question it, or will they perform whatever's put in front of them?
The answer, across all these shows, is that people will go along with almost anything if the person proposing it seems confident and the social context says it's normal. That's not just a comedic observation, it's a genuine insight about human psychology. These shows are funny, but they're also documentaries about compliance.
Which is why the best shows in this genre have an undercurrent of something darker. Nathan for Yu is hilarious, but it's also a portrait of economic desperation. These business owners say yes to poo-flavored yogurt and fake Starbucks and a gas station that sells alcohol to minors because they're barely staying afloat and someone is offering help. The rehearsal is funny, but it's also about the impossibility of controlling life through preparation. Review is funny, but it's about a man destroying himself because he can't step outside his own format.
That darkness is part of what separates this kind of comedy from lighter prank shows. You're not just laughing at a funny situation, you're laughing while also feeling something uncomfortable, something that lingers after the episode ends. The best comedy in this tradition doesn't resolve neatly, it leaves a residue.
To pull together the recommendations explicitly, if Yu love Trigger Happy TV and Nathan for Yu, the direct hits are How To with John Wilson, The Rehearsal, and Nirvana the Band, The Shell. Those are the closest relatives. Similar structural DNA, similar deadpan commitment, similar blend of real and constructed.
Then there's the slightly adjacent but still connected cluster, Review with Andy Daly, Joe Pera Talks With Yu, and Jury Duty. These share the comedic mechanism. Elaborate artificial frame, total commitment, humor from the gap, but apply it in different formats.
Then the deeper lineage, the Tom Green Show, the Ali G Show, Brass Eye, and I Think You Should Leave. These are the ancestors and cousins. They're working with the same materials, but building slightly different things. Tom Green is the loud version, Tim Robinson is the sketch version, Sacha Baron Cohen is the confrontational version, Chris Morris is the satirical version.
If I had to pick one to start with, based on what the prop describes, it would be How To with John Wilson. It's the most direct descendant of Nathan for Yu. Same producer, same network, similar sensibility, but it's also its own entirely original thing. And it's complete. 3 seasons, a proper ending, no cliffhangers.
Then, The Rehearsal, which is one of the strangest things ever made for television. The first episode alone, when Nathan helps a man prepare to confess a lie to a friend by building an exact replica of the bar they're going to meet at, and then rehearsing every possible branching path of the conversation, is a better explanation of this entire comedic tradition than anything we could say.
The thing that unites all of these, and the thing I think the prompt is really asking about, is a specific kind of comedic intelligence. It's not about jokes. It's about creating a situation where the joke emerges naturally from the interaction between a constructed reality and the real world. The creator sets up the conditions and then steps back. The comedy is what happens in the gap.
The straight face is the key that unlocks it. If Dom Jolie laughed at his own giant cell phone, the bit would collapse. If Nathan Fielder winked at the camera, the whole show would evaporate. The commitment has to be total. The constructed reality has to be presented as if it's the most natural thing in the world.
Which is why this kind of comedy rewards attention. You can watch an episode of Nathan for You casually and laugh at the surface absurdity. The poo-flavored yogurt, the gas station rebate, the man who went on a date in a hazmat suit. But if you're paying closer attention, you're also watching a documentary about loneliness, economic precarity, and the lengths people will go to for connection and survival. The layers are what make it rewatchable.
The prompt mentioned that Nathan For You feels slightly more mature than Trigger Happy TV, and I think that's right. But it's not just an age thing. It's that Nathan For You is doing more things simultaneously. Trigger Happy TV is pure comedy. It wants you to laugh. Nathan For You wants you to laugh and then feel weird about laughing. It's comedy with a question mark attached.
The shows we're recommending all share that quality to varying degrees. Joe Parra is gentle and warm, but there's a melancholy underneath. He's a man finding joy in small things because the big things are hard. How To with John Wilson is hilarious, but it's also a portrait of a city full of lonely people trying to connect. Review is a tragedy told as a comedy. The Rehearsal is a comedy that keeps threatening to become a psychological thriller.
This is the kind of comedy that takes the prompt's phrase, ridiculous television, and makes it mean something more interesting than it sounds. Ridiculous doesn't mean stupid. It means operating according to a logic that's adjacent to normal logic, parallel to it, close enough to recognize, but different enough to create friction. The friction is the point.
The friction requires a specific kind of performer. Dom Jolie, Nathan Fielder, John Wilson, Joe Parra, Andy Daly, Sacha Baron Cohen, these are not traditional comedians in the stand-up sense. They're more like conceptual artists who happen to work in comedy. The performance is the concept. The joke is the structure.
Which is probably why this kind of comedy inspires such devotion in its fans. When you find a show that works this way, it feels like discovering a secret. These aren't broad appeal sitcoms. They're weird, specific, and they ask something of the viewer. You have to meet them halfway.
Once you're tuned to this frequency, you start seeing it everywhere. The guy at the farmer's market who's selling artisanal air with a completely straight face. The corporate training video that's so earnest it loops around to surreal. The LinkedIn post that reads like it was written by an alien who learned about human business culture from a badly translated manual. The whole world is full of people constructing alternate realities and demanding that everyone else play along. These shows just make the mechanism visible.
Which is maybe the deepest pleasure of this kind of comedy. It's not just funny, it's a way of seeing. Once you've watched enough Nathan For You, you start noticing all the ways that ordinary social life is already a kind of performance, already full of people pretending that absurd situations are normal because that's what politeness requires. The comedy is just turning up the contrast.
To answer the prompt directly, yes, there's absolutely a through line. It's comedy built on constructed reality, deadpan commitment, and the gap between social expectation and absurd intervention. The recommendations flow naturally from that diagnosis. And if I were going to add one more thought, it's that this kind of comedy is having a moment right now that it hasn't really had before. The success of Jury Duty, the critical acclaim for The Rehearsal, the cult following for How To with John Wilson. There's an audience for this that's bigger than it used to be, and the streaming era has made it easier to find.
The streaming era also made it easier for these shows to exist at all. Trigger Happy TV was on Channel 4 in the UK and had to fight for its slot. Nathan For You was on Comedy Central and nearly got cancelled multiple times. Now HBO is giving Nathan Fielder blank checks to build exact replicas of people's homes and film whatever happens. The weird stuff is finding its audience.
The audience is finding the weird stuff, which is what this prompt is doing. It's someone saying, I like these two specific things, what else is like them? And the answer turns out to be a whole constellation of shows that share a comedic philosophy. That's satisfying to map out.
It's the kind of question that makes you realize how much interesting work is happening in a particular corner of television. Comedy. that's not about setups and punchlines, but about situations and tensions. Comedy that treats the real world as raw material. Comedy that trusts the audience to get it without a laugh track.
That trust is crucial. None of these shows tell you when to laugh. They just present the situation and let you decide. The absence of a laugh track, the absence of a wink, the absence of any signal that this is supposed to be funny, that's what makes it funny. The straight face is the whole art form.
All right, I think we've mapped this territory pretty thoroughly. One final thought. If the person who sent this prompt watches the rehearsal and comes back wanting to discuss it, we're going to need a whole other episode. That show raises questions that don't have easy answers.
It really does. And that's probably the best endorsement we can give. The shows we're recommending aren't just funny, they're conversation starters. They're the kind of television that makes you want to talk about what you just watched. Which is, now that I think about it, exactly what this prompt is doing.
And now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
In the early medieval period, the silk of the golden orb weaver spider was so prized in Turkmenistan that it was woven into ceremonial garments believed to grant protection. The practice vanished for centuries until a researcher rediscovered a surviving textile fragment in a tomb near Merv in 2023, confirming that the technique was real and not legend.
Right, right.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thank you to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, you can find more at My Weird Prompts. We'll be back soon.
Try not to build an exact replica of your living room in a warehouse between now and then.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore. A thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.